The Gemara in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis quotes the pasuk from Chumash Yom Tru Yelachem, and the Gemara quotes the Targum Onkelos on that pasuk, and the Targumino on the Targum Onkelos writes Yom Yabova Yehelachom. What does the word Yabova mean? So they quote the pasuk in Shoftim from Shiraz Devaira that Sisra was the general of the army that was waging war against Bnei Yisrael, and he was killed by Yoel Eshes Chever Akeni, and his mother was waiting, Aim Sisra was waiting by the window to see if her son is going to come back victorious, and the women were consoling her, it's okay, probably such a big victory, it's going to take him another day, and she was stopping by the window. Be'ar hachalo nishkefo v'atiyabei v'im Sisra. So you see that the word Yom Teruah means a day of crying. You're supposed to cry on Rosh Hashanah. The Pasuk says in Nehemiah, when they opened up, it sounds like the conservative temple, when they opened up the temple for the high holidays, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, so they opened it for Rosh Hashanah, opened it for the high holidays. And Ezra HaKohen got the first Aliyah, and he said, Baruch Hu Hashem Amvarach, and it's all described the way we have Kriya Sater. It's exactly pattern after what it says there in Sefer Nehemiah. Nehemiah is part of Ezra, Nehemiah is one Sefer. So the people were crying. People were crying because they had such tzaris from the neighbors and other tzaris. So Ezra and Nehemiah, they tell them they shouldn't cry. Chedvas Hashem Himo'uzchem, Rosh Hashanah Zayantiv, a day to celebrate, they shouldn't cry. So what do you do here? The Gemara says Yom Teruah Yelachem means a day of cry. And there the pasuk says you're not supposed to cry because of Simchas Yontif. So the Achrenim say that in the middle of tefillah you have to cry. The tefillah should be a serious tefillah. All day long you should celebrate. It's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. The Gemara has a shaila whether the mitzvah of Simcha, the original pasuk of Simcha v'samachta v'chagecha, only says by Sukkot. But then you have a hekesh, all the shalosh regalim are compared to each other. So the mitzvah of Simcha applies not only to Sukkot, it applies to Pesach Shavuos as well. So does it also apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not really part of the series of the Shalosh Regalim. There is no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. You don't have a mitzvah to visit the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So that's a machlokes HaTanoim and Erevin. In Moed Katan, in the last parak of Moed Katan, the Mishnah has a machlokes HaTanoim. If someone is sitting Shiva, Shloshim, and then it comes Rosh Hashanah, whether the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah cancels Shiva or Shloshim. The reason why Pesach Shavuos Sukkah is the reason why Yontov cancels Avelus, whatever one is in the middle of it. The Shiva is over, the Shloshim is over, because the mitzvah, Yontov has a chi of Simcha, and Simcha and Avelus is a tie to the Sasri, so it cancels whatever Avelus one is holding by. So the Tanoim have a machlokes whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also cancel Avelus. So we paskin lahakel, there we paskin lahakel, because halach gederam mekel ba'avel. Whenever there's a machlokes, even it's not a machlokes in Hilchas Avelis, it's a machlokes in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur have a chi of simcha or not, so when it's neged to Avelis, so we always go lakula. Any suffix Avelis, you go lakula. So when neged to Avelis, we paskin lahakel that Rosh Hashanah does cancel Avelis, and Yom Kippur cancels Avelis. But the shaila, what about taka in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Hilchas Yom Kippur? That we paskin that there is a chiv simcha na. So the Gemara in Erevin, we learned it together a couple of years ago. Gemara in Erevin, daf mem on the base, as a shaila, are you obligated to recite Shehechiyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The Gemara says, when you see a new fruit, a pri chadosh, so that Shehechiyonu is a reshus. You're not obligated to say Shehechiyonu, it's optional. If you're excited about the fact that you see that you've survived another year, you see that it's the watermelon season, or it's the cherry season, or the berry season, whatever, and you're excited over the fact that you survived another year, so you say, Shechyanu v'gimanu v'gimanu l'azmanu zeh. You say, Shechyanu nahagos hazman. So the Gemara says that Shechyanu is optional, but Shechyanu on Pesach Shavuos Sukkot is a chayva. Why is it obligatory? Because on Pesach Shavuos Sukkot there's a chayv simcha. So the Gemara has a shayla. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is there a chayv Shechyanu or not? So the Gemara says, what's the shayla? What did you do last year? Yesh meyayin. What did you do last year? Gemara says, no, vada, everybody says Shechyanu. But they wanted to know, is it only a rishus, like a pri chadosh, or is it a chayva? Are you mechayv to say Shechyanu? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Shechyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a chayva. So the Rishonim explain what's the issue that what's the issue that we're questioning here. Shachyanu is a bracha that you say when there's a chiyuv simcha. The reason why you say Shachyanu on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos is because that's like the bichas hamitzvah over the simchas yontif. So that was the shaila they had. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the maskanas haGemara was an erev in daf mem and beis. Shachyanu is a chayva on Rosh Hashanah. When we say Kiddush, we say Shachyanu at the end, and Yom Kippur we don't say Kiddush, but after Kol Nidre, so the Chazan said everybody says together Shachyanu. We assume there is a chiyuv simcha on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. That's why when you the nigunim in the tefillah are supposed to convey the theme of the davening. So some nigunim are supposed to be very cheerful and some nigunim are supposed to be very sad. When you say the kinnis on Tisha B'Av, it's a sad nigun. When you sing on Yom Tov, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, sing the davening, it's a cheerful davening. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's supposed to be not sad, it's supposed to be serious. But then at the end of the Kaddish, when you get to Tiskabel Tzalos and Yehi Shlama Rabba, so the Achronim say the minig is that you sing with a cheerful nigun, because sof kol sof it is yantiv. The davening should be serious, but then when you finish the davening and sing Tiskabel, so it should be cheerful. We had the first night of Slichas, we had a Bal Tvila in the yeshiva who said Slichas, so everything is fine. And then he came to the end of the Kaddish, so he started to sing Tiskabel Tzalos with the nigun for Rosh Hashanah. I don't think that's right. On Rosh Hashanah it's a yontif, so you're supposed to have serious till you finish the davening, then it's supposed to be cheerful. Then sof kol sof Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a chiyuv simchas, you have to have a cheerful nigun. We're not holding yet by Rosh Hashanah, it's slichas time. So I thought that the minig is, I have to ask the Balei Tefila, I think the minig is in the Kaddish of the slichas that you have a serious nigun throughout. You don't switch in the end to Skavos Losen with a cheerful nigun, because it's not yet the Simchas Rosh Hashanah. So that's what the Achronim say. What's the nature, what's the situation, what is it supposed to be on Rosh Hashanah? Supposed to cry, not supposed to cry. So they say, the Pasuk says in Nechem, you're not supposed to cry on Rosh Hashanah. But during davening, you're supposed to cry. That's what the Pasuk says, Yom Tura Lechem, and Targumina Yom Yabava, day of crying. Because the Tkiya Shofar is supposed to be to enhance the davening. We blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. Many shuls they blow in the middle of the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. Tosfos quotes that from the Oruch. The Gemara says you only blow shofar al Seder HaBrachos at the end of Malchus Chanah Shofar is only b'tzibur, not b'yochid. If a person, let's say, is davening tefillah b'yochid and he's a bal tefillah, he's a bal tekeya, or he has a bal tekeya there, so the Gemara says he shouldn't blow shofar in the middle of the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei b'yechidus, if he's davening b'yechidus, only b'tzibur. So that's a question, what do you mean b'tzibur? It means only a Chazaras Hashatz? Or does it mean no, even Tefillah Balachash also? So Tosfos quotes from the Oruch was a dictionary. He was a contemporary of Rashi, the Oruch. There's a famous tshuva that Rashi supposedly sent to the Oruch. If there's a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when do you have the bris? So usually when you have a bris, you have it the way it used to be, the way it's described in Shulchan Aruch. You have a bris at the end of the davening right before Aleinu L'Shabech. Because Aleinu L'Shabech, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Jewish people are the Yam HaNivcha, we're different from the Yom HaSoil. So we have a bris milah. Today, they finish the whole davening, then half the people want to go to work. So then when they have the bris, then they say Aleinu L'Shabech a second time after the bris. But the minig used to be when people didn't have to... Half the shul wasn't leaving, everybody was going to stay for the bris. So the bris was always before Aleinu L'Shabech. So on Rosh Hashanah, they assume you're not supposed to do the bris before Aleinu L'Shabech. Huh? So we do before Tkiyas, right. So that's the tshuva that Rashi sent to the Oruch, that you do the bris before the Tkiyas. Why don't you do the Prima Gadim asks? What's the issue? Why Manishtana, why don't you just do the bris before Aleinu? Yeah, that's a remez, yeah. So the Prima Gadim writes, he thinks that the reason why is because in the days of the Rishonim, the davening already was so late, they're not going to finish till after Chatzos. And that's already a violation of Zrizim Magdimah L'Mitzvah. The Gemara says, Milas kosher kol ayoyim, you can do the bris milah anytime, it has to be in the daytime, you can't do the bris milah at nighttime. L'chatchili shouldn't do before sunrise. You don't say Zrizim Magdimah L'Mitzvah. Let's say the first minyan sometimes finishes, the early minyan sometimes finishes before sunrise. So that's not proper, l'chatchila, to do a bris milah before sunrise. The Mishnah Megillah says that's not proper. You should wait to do the bris, and the tilos lulav, and Hallel, even if you have an early minyan, it's not right to say Hallel before sunrise. Even if Zepta Alos Al Shachar, it's not right to say Hallel before sunrise. If you have no brer, you have no brer, but you should try to do after. So the same bris milah. So you say Ziriz Magdim Al Mitzvah, you should do it as soon as possible after the sun goes up. If you daven at the 7 o'clock minyan, 8 o'clock minyan, 9 o'clock minyan, 10 o'clock minyan, so you can still do the bris. But if you're going to do the bris in the afternoon, so that's a violation already. If you wait till after Chatzos, that's a violation of Ziriz Magdim Al Mitzvah. So the Prima Gadim explains that must be, he's guessing, he thinks that must be the background of the shaila. Why did Rashi send this letter to the Oruch that you have to do the bris before Tkir Shofar? Manashtana Rosh Hashanah from every other day of the year is up to, because if you do the bris at the end of Musaf before Aleinu, it'll be after Chatzos. Because the minig was, by the days of the Gaonim, the days of the Rishonim, they instituted so many piyutim, it took forever till they finished davening. So that's already a violation of Ziriz Magdim to wait so late. So the Oruch was a dictionary that the Rashi and the Tosis used. Rashi corresponded with him. The Oruch lived in Rome. Rashi did not live in Rome. How did he know that the Oruch existed? How did he know that there were Talmid HaChachamim there in Italy, that they could correspond with each other? I don't know. But they knew. So Tosis quotes from the Oruch that the minig was that they blew tkiyas in the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei if you daven b'tzibur, as well as in the Chazaros HaShatz. But then Tosfos quotes from Tshuvas HaGoyinim, other Goyinim before the days of the Yoruch, that they only blew shofar in Chazaros HaShatz. They didn't blow shofar in the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei. So there were always two practices. Whether you blow shofar in the Chazaros HaShatz only b'tzibur, or even Tefillah B'Lachash if it's b'tzibur. But it was b'yochid, the Gemara said b'feirish, that you don't blow shofar. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, what's going on? The Mishnah says you blow shofar in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. How about shaking lulav in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei? No, it's a hepsik. You can't shake lulav in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. So why do we allow them to blow shofar in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei? So he said, obviously the tkiya shofar enhances the tefillah. It blends in with the tefillah. He said, as opposed to tkiya shofar during Chodesh Elul, he said the minhag always was that they blew shofar after the davening was all over. He said the way they do in the yeshiva now is not the way he remembered from Europe. Then now they blow shofar before the Dovid Hashem Ori. So he said in Europe they didn't do like that. Those kehillahs where they said some, they didn't say Dovid Hashem Ori, other kehillahs they did say. But he said that tkiyas shofar was after the whole davening was all over, because tkiyas shofar in Chodesh Elul is just a hachrozes, just an announcement. Rosh Hashanah is coming and everybody should be chozer b'tshuva. Like the Rambam says that there's a remez in tkiyas shofar, everyone should wake up, uri yisheni mishin aschem, everybody should shape up and do tshuva. So let's say I daven slowly. So when they're blowing shofar during Chodesh Elul, I'm still saying Aleinu or Volatzion, whatever. I'm not up to them. On Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to talk when they're about to care blow shofar. You're supposed to be yotze shemei kaina. So you have to pay attention. And Chodesh Elul, you don't have to pay attention. He's blowing shofar. He's making a hachrozah. I have to stop talking when someone makes an announcement when mincha is going to be or when myra is going to be. I'm not davening out loud. I'm not disturbing them. But on Rosh Hashanah, the tkiya shofar is in the middle of the davening because it's an integral part of the davening. The idea of Rosh Hashanah, the tkiya shofar, is to elevate the davening to the level of a tefillah sheyesh bo demois. The Gemara has a lotion in Bava Metzia. Miyam shechor beis hamigdash, after the beis hamigdash was destroyed, nin alu shari tefillah. Because the Beis HaMikdosh is not only the location of Hakrovas HaKarbonis, it says Ki Beis Beis Tefillah Yikari. That's where you're supposed to daven in the Beis HaMikdosh. I don't know, a lot of people live in Yerushalayim, they go to Uman to daven in Rosh Hashanah. I think they're off their minds. Mishigoyim, they go to Uman. This is Mamish, this is Shara Shamayim. If the Rebbe would have had a chance to go to Yerushalayim, he would have gone also to Yerushalayim. There was no Yerushalayim. He never dreamt that they're going to. I think it's ridiculous. There's so many aniyim in Yerushalayim that have no food to eat. Take all these millions of dollars that they're pishing away, traveling to Uman, give it to the aniyim. All the yeshivas come to America to raise money. Just take all the money from the plane trips that they're all flying to Uman for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and give it to the yeshivas and give it to the aniyim. It's utterly ridiculous. So the Beis HaMikdash is Ki Beisi Beis Tvili Yikori L'chol HaAmim. That's the Mokum of Tvili. He's supposed to daven by the Kosel HaMarabi. Daven in the Beis HaMikdash. We live in America. So Shlomo HaMelech said, V'spad Olecha Derech HaBayis HaZeh. When we daven, we're supposed to face the Beis HaMikdash. Because that's the Mokum of Tvila. So the Gemara comments after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, not only the no more karbanos, the tefillos are not answered the way they used to be. Ninalu shari tefillah, because the pasuk says in Echa, kam kiezer kvashaveya, so some tefillosi, the tefillos are not accepted the way they used to be. That's why Tisha B'Av, after we lay in Echa, so we leave out tiskabel tzeloson, because the tefillos, we were told in Echa that the tefillos will not be accepted to the same extent as it used to be bizman shebeis hamikdash or yakai. So the Gemara says, but this is only if a person has a plain tefillah. But if he has tefillah sheyeshim or demois, if he cries in the middle of davening because it's taka, a sincere, serious davening over a serious issue, afal pi shari tefillah ninu shari demois lo ninalu. If he daven seriously, so that's a higher level of tefillah. So that's exactly what it means on Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom Teruah. You're not allowed to cry on Rosh Hashanah. It's supposed to be a yontav. It's supposed to be a mitzvah of simcha. It's supposed to say shachyanu. It's doich avelis. There's a mitzvah of simcha. But in the middle of the davening, you're supposed to cry. It means it's supposed to be a serious davening. The malchi is the chaynes and shayfris, a serious tefillas, the serious bakoshes. See, the Rambam writes that one of the 613 mitzvahs, this is one of the Rambam lists them in descending order of importance. So the first mitzvah is to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then one of those mitzvahs, I think mitzvah number 5, he's going in descending order, is to daven once a day every day. The Rambam understands, based on the Gemara, that to daven every day is a mitzvah men haTorah. It says in Kriyat Shema, Liyovdu b'chol levavchem. What is Avodah Shebelev? How do you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your heart? So the Gemara says that's a reference to tefillah. So the Rambam understands that it's a mitzvah to daven once a day, every day, min haTorah. The Gemara always says that tefillah is midirabbanan. So the Rambam says that means that the fact that you daven 3 times a day, with a particular nusach haTefillah, the way we say, okay, we're saying that the nusach is only midirabbanan. But in principle, the obligation to daven once a day, every day, is min haTorah. So then the Rambam, before he gets to the din of the Rabbanan, you look in the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah. So he writes, what's the din min haTorah, and what was added midirabbanan? So when he's writing what was min haTorah, he writes, and you have to daven nochach hamikdash, facing the Beis Hamikdash. The Rambam understands that that's a din d'oraisa, not just that it didn't begin with Shleim HaMelech. He's not the one who introduced it. When he built the Beis Hamikdash, he said everyone should daven in the Beis Hamikdash, facing the Beis Hamikdash. So Shleim HaMelech mentioned the din that already existed from the Chumash. The Netziv talks about it. Where is the pasuk in Chumash where it says you have to daven nochach hamikdash, facing the Beis Hamikdash? And then the Rambam also writes, quoting Gemaris, it's all based on Gemaris. The Rambam writes, this davening that you have to offer once a day, every day, the Mogen Avram writes, if you say Moedani in the morning, get yotze dechiyav tefillah deraisa. So the later poskim say, how can you be yotze tefillah deraisa? That's not a tefillah. Moedani means thank you very much. That's the conclusion of the tefillah. The Gemara says the framework of the tefillah has to be, you have to start with shevach, you have to conclude with haidoya, you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to end off thank you very much. And the essence of the tefillah is the middle part, bakoshes tzarochim, tchinas of bakoshes. A person has to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of all of his needs. It's not, that's the essence of tefillah. It's not derech eretz just to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, please give me this and that. Yeah, I need all these things. I have a whole shopping list. I need all these things. The derech eretz dictates, the psukim teaches, derech eretz dictates, you have to give an introductory statement of shevach, and then you have to conclude with a thank you, haidoya, and the ikar of the tefillah is the middle part. So Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his tshuvas, what do you do on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where you leave out the whole middle part of the Shemana Esrei? So you don't have any bakoshas tarochim. So you're not yotze the mitzvah min haTorah of tefillah. The Rambam says that once a day, every day, one is obligated to daven. So Shabbos and Yom Tov, you leave out all the bakoshas in the middle. So you're not yotze the chiyuv tefillah deraisa. So Moshe says, no, you look in the concluding paragraph in the Shemana Esrei on Shabbos Yom Tov, the concluding paragraph is a bakosha. You say, Elokeinu kevaseinu, ritzei b'mnuchoseinu, accept our observance of Shabbos, kavshenu b'mitzvah secha, sanctify us with the mitzvah, secha kenu b'sar secha, give us atzloch and learning, sabinu mitevecha, and so on. So the concluding paragraph, same thing on Yom Tov, hasiyenu, spirkas madecho, the concluding paragraph on Shabbos and Yom Tov always has the bakoshas. Instead of Gashmi's Dika Bakosh, instead of asking for refuah for the sick people, or Yeshuas and Nechomas and this and that, and Parnasa, so we talk about Ruchni's Dika needs on Shabbos and Yom. So the same is true on Rosh Hashanah. When you say the Malchus Chana Shofaris, the beginning of Malchus Chanu Shofres doesn't have Bakasha, but the concluding paragraph always has, and that's the Iker of the Malchus Chanu Shofres, is the concluding paragraph. Malchus, the end of Elkeinu Chesed Melachol Kol Halam Kula Bichvaydecha. It's not one of our tzorachim, it's a tzorach of the Rabbanu Shalom. So we pray to the Rabbanu Shalom that his tzorach, that he should be recognized as the Melech all over the world, should be fulfilled. Melachol Kol Halam Kula Bichvaydecha. Then Zechron is the end of Elkeinu Chesed. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember us, and then Shofres. So the Iker of the Malchus Chanu Shofres is really the concluding paragraph that has the Bakasha Tzorachim. But till you lead up to the Bakasha Tzorachim, so you give a whole introduction. Rashi on the Gemara seems to be of the opinion that Malchus Chanu Shofres is the Raisa. The Gemara learns it out from Psukim, but the Ramban on Chumash taines against Rashi. Rashi on Chumash also on Parshas and more. Rashi sounds like he's saying that Malchus Chanu Shofres is the Raisa. The Ramban on Chumash is masik on the Rashi. He says it's a beferish Gemara that it's only the Rabbana, because the Gemara has a Braisa in the end of Rosh Hashanah. The fellow lives in a little village and they don't have a shofar, and they don't have a machzer. So if he stays home for Rosh Hashanah, he will not be able to say Malchus Chanu Shofres. He does know it by heart. He does know it all, what Malchus Chanu Shofres is all about, and he won't have Tkiyah Shofar. And he can't go to the big city. That's too expensive. He can't blow in his whole life savings to go here at Tkiyah Shofar and to daven. So he has an option of going to one village or the other. So in one village they have a Shofar, but there's no Machzer. The other village they have a Machzer, they have no Shofar. So the Braisa says he should go to that village where they have the Shofar, and lose out on the Malchus Chanu Shofres. That's the Braisa. So the Gemara Frek Takasha Pshita, obvious, the psak of the Braisa is obvious, because Tkiyah Shofres is a din deraisa, and the davening with the whole Malchus Chanu Shofres is only with the Rabbana. So of course you go to the city where they have the Shofar, and you forget about the Malchus Chanu Shofres. So the Gemara answers, Lo Tzricha, the Braisa means to tell us the following Chiddush. One city has a Machzer and it doesn't have a Shofar. So you'll have Malchus Chanu Shofres and you won't have Tkiyas. The other city has no Machzer, and Emea may not have a Shofar. Emea may not have a Shofar. And it may turn out that you'll be left with nothing. Kerech Mikami, Kerech Mikami. It may turn out you'll place your bet on that city, you'll travel to the city, and then you'll find out there's no Nishken Shofar and Nishken Machzer. So that's what the Braisa tells you. You should place your money on the Sofik Shofar as opposed to the Vadai Malchus Chanu Shofres. So the Ramban, because the Sofik Deraisa is more important than the Vadai Derabbana. Because the Shema is a Deraisa and the Bari is a Derabbana, right? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, this din. So the Ramban says, how can Rashi write as if Malchus Chanu Shofres is a din Deraisa? The Gemara is beferish that it's only Midirabbana. So the Mefarshim on Rosh Hashanah come to defend Rashi. So they say that they think that Rashi only meant to say the Malchus Chanu Shofres is the Raisa when it comes in conjunction with Tkiyah Shofar. If the village doesn't have a Shofar, you're just going to say Malchus Chanu Shofres, then it's only the Rabbanan. If it comes together with the Tkiyah Shofar, then it's the Raisa. So the Braisa is talking when you have one village only has a Machzer that doesn't have a Shofar. Why the connection? Why the combination? Because the idea behind the Shofar is to elevate the level of the Tfilah, that it should be a Tfilah Shieshi Moed Demoes. Like the Gemara says, Shari Tfilah Ninalu, Shari Demoes Lo Ninalu. So you're supposed to cry in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. The crying was supposed to be that the davening is very serious bakoshes. We're talking about themes of Malchus Chanu Shofres, very important themes.
Especially when they do it, when you say they do it, then the place
would
cry.
On Yom Kippur, yeah. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Vida. On Yom Kippur, you may say Vida. That for sure is a time to cry. But even in Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Vida. So a time to be very, very serious is when you have the Bakasha, Malchus Chanu Shofres. Yeah. What the framework of the Malchus Chanu Shofres, all the three brachas are the same. You start off by making a statement of emuna. We believe in certainly karihu emuna. So we start off by emphasizing what we believe in. How many karihu emuna are there? So the Rambam lists off 13 Ikori Haemunah. The Yud Gimel Ikori Haemunah, it's in the Siddur after Shachris. They have the 13 Animamans that are patterned after the Rambam 13 Ikori Haemunah, and the Pirush HaMishnah is the end of Sanhedrin. And after the Rambam, there was a famous philosopher in Spain, Rabbi Yosef Albo, way after the Rambam. And he writes, basically, there are three Ikori Haemunah. We believe in Metzius Hashem, the existence of God, that there's only one God, okay? And number two, we believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. And number three, we believe in Schar V'Yonesh. And basically, all of the other Ikori Haemunah fall under these three categories. So basically, that's really the Malchus Chayin HaShofers. These are the three Ikori Haemunah of Rabbi Yosef Albo. Malchus, we make a statement of faith. In the opening paragraph, you make a statement, we believe in Malchus. We believe that God exists and He has full control over the world. And Bnei Yisrael are the Yama Nivchar. We mention all of this in Malchus. Then in Zichroinus, we speak about Schar V'Yonesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that's happening in the world. He has Yediyah, and there's Hashgach HaPratis, and nobody gets away with any Aveira, and anyone who does any slight little mitzvah will be rewarded. That's the theme of Zichroinus. And Shofres is the theme of Torah Min HaShemayim. We start off Atan Nikleisa Ba'anan Kodach Al Hasinah Ledaber Imamcha Yisrael. We talk about Maimon HaSinai. Throughout Tanakh, whenever there's a Gilu Shechina, so there's always a Tkiya Shofar. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, there was Tkiya Shofar, Kola Shofar Chazak Miyot, because there was a Gilu Shechina, Lasi Lava, we say, Tka B'Shofar God Al Chay B'Seinu, because there's going to be a Gilu Shechina, Lasi Lava also. So the theme of Shofres is really the theme of Nevuah. The Rambam has among the Yud Gimel Ikori Haemunah, Rambam says that we believe in Nevuah, we believe Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level than that of the other prophets. Included in Nevuah is that we believe in Tefillah also. Nevuah means HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate with man. Tefillah, man can communicate with the Rabban Shalom. It's the other side of Nevuah, it's Tefillah. So it's all included. So the theme of Shofres is the theme, we believe in Nevuah, we believe it happened, there was Nevuah, there will be Nevuah in the future, we believe it's possible to have Gilu Shechina, it's possible to have Tefillah. All of this is included in the theme of Shofres. Why did the Torah tell us, according to Rashi it's a din min HaTorah, according to Rashi it's a din, according to Rashi it's a din min HaTorah, according to the Ramban it's a din min HaRabbanan. Why did the Mishnah tell us that we have to list off, why do we have to mention the Ikori Haemunah Rosh Hashanah? So the Pashtus is, we assume it says in the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. So the Ramban has a famous drasha that he delivered on Rosh Hashanah. In the old city, in the Ir Atika, is the Beis HaKnesses of Ramban. That's where he delivered the drasha. Not in that, wasn't in that building, but that's the location where he delivered the drasha. He lived in Spain for many years, and he always wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And then he had to run to Eretz Yisrael when the Catholic Church was out to get him. So he had to run away, had to sneak out of Spain and go to Eretz Yisrael. So when he came to Eretz Yisrael, there was barely a minyan there in Yerushalayim. So he held a long drasha on Rosh Hashanah. Must have been a few hours long, the way he printed over the drasha. He went through all the dinim of Tkiyah Shofar, and he talks a lot about the nature of the yontav of Rosh Hashanah. So he raises this question, where does it say in Tanakh that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin? Where did the Chachamim get this from? It doesn't say anywhere in Tanakh. There isn't even a remez that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. So the Ramban says, he quotes a Medrash, that on the same day that Adam Rishon was created, our tradition has that Adam Rishon was created on Echad B'Tishrei. On the same day Adam Rishon was created, he was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Tzav Hashem Elokim al HaAdam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him all of the mitzvahs b'nei noach, all the dinim that he has to observe, with the special din he's not allowed to eat from the Eitz HaDas, and then he notified him on that day of all of the Ikori Haemunah. When you give Adam Rishon all the mitzvahs, you have to tell him the Ikori Haemunah. So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, all of mankind was created B'Tzelem Elokim, Chaviv Yisrael Shenikra Baram Lamokim, that's a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim, that we're not only Tzelem Elokim, we're even Baram Lamokim. Then the Mishnah continues, Chibi Yisera in the Das Lo Shenivra B'Tzelem. What does that mean? Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. We know more or less what it means. Man was created B'Tzelem Elokim. What's the additional line? Chibi Yisera in the Das Lo Shenivra B'Tzelem. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis writes there on Pirkei Avos, not only was man created B'Tzelem Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that he was created B'Tzelem Elokim. Sometimes you do a taiva for a person, you don't even tell him that you did the taiva, so he doesn't know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man mitzalem akim, and he told him, I created you, that chiba is here in the dasloi. He notified all the Marishan he was created mitzalem akim. So the pashtus is one was Vaitzav Hashem alakim al ha'adam, the same day that he was created, he was instructed to observe the basic mitzvahs ben inoyach, all the sheva mitzvahs ben inoyach. He was told at that time, the ikari hu amunim. And then the Medrash says, the same day that he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he violated the din. He was judged on the same day, and he was punished on the same day, chased out of a Gan Eden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him at that time, you were judged today on Rosh Hashanah, and in all future generations, I'm going to judge your descendants on this same day on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin for Kol Bal Yoylam, for all people. And Aseres HaMei Tshuva is for all people, not only for the Jewish people. The Aseres HaMei Tshuva are days that are Mesukal. We should really tell the Yom HaSoylam. It's a season of the year. All year long, one is obligated to do Tshuva. But this season of the year is Dirsh Hashem Behi Matzai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself more readily available, more easily available, to do tshuva in Aseres HaMei Tshuva. We assume our tradition has it. This is for all Bal Yoylam, not only for Bnei Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin for everybody, and Aseres HaMei Tshuva is Dirsh Hashem Behi Matzah for all the people in the world. So the Ramban writes in this drasha that he gave when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, he writes in the drasha that the fact that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin is never mentioned in Tanakh. This was a historical tradition that was passed down from Adam Rishon to all the Yom HaSoylam. Everybody had this tradition. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. So because on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Adam Rishon, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam, he gave him all the mitzvahs, ben inoyach, all the mitzvahs that he has to observe, and together with the mitzvahs, he gave him all the ikari hamuna that he has to know. So that's why we were commanded, either in HaTorah, mid the Rabbanah, later generations, when we daven Rosh Hashanah, we should also review the ikari hamuna. So we follow Rabbi Yosef Albo. It's not really a machlokes, Rabbi Yosef Albo and the Rambam. There are more than 13 Ikori Hemunah. There are more than 13. The Rambam, in the 13 principles of faith that the Rambam lists off, he does mention Bechira Chavshis. Bechira Chavshis is an Ikori Hemunah. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, when he talks about Bechira Chavshis, he says this is an Ikori Hemunah. So why doesn't he list it in 13 Ikori Hemunah? So it's subsumed on the Schar V'Yonesh. It's self-understood. You don't deserve any reward, you don't deserve any punishment if you didn't have Bechira Chavshis. That's self-understood. The Rambam failed to mention the Ikar and Emunah, that Am Yisrael is Am HaNivchar. The Ramban writes on Chumash that whoever doesn't believe that Jewish history is L'mayla Men HaTeva is Ein L'chelek B'Elokei Yisrael. This is an Ikar and Emunah. The Rambam doesn't disagree. The Rambam didn't list off of the 13 Ikar Emunah is not a cutoff point. There are more than 13 Ikar Emunah. It's all included. There must be, Sir Rav Soloveitchik used to say, it must be a historical reason why the Rambam singled out these 13. These were the issues that they debated with the Catholic, with the Christians and with the Muslims. So the Rambam listed off our position. But there were more than 13 Ikori Hemunah. So Rabbi Yosef Albo took, he masked him with all the 13 Ikori Hemunah. But he says basically it boils down to three. And the three are Malchus, Achonis, and Shofaris. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu notified Adam Rishon on Rosh Hashanah of the Ikari Hamuna, Chiba Yisera Nadasla Shenivra B'Tzalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu notified Adam Rishon of the fact that this is an Ikari Hamuna, he was created B'Tzalam HaLakim. So on Rosh Hashanah we are commanded, either in HaTorah or the Rabbanon, we should also review the Ikari Hamuna. So each one of these three brachas, Malchus Chayna Shofres, begins with a statement of this Ikari Hamuna. Malchus Chayna Shofres Metzius Hashem and Schar V'Yonish and Torah Min HaShemayim, and then in order to prove that these Ikori are so how do we ever prove things? So the Gemara always has you prove it by quoting Pesukim from Tanakh. Usually the Gemara will only quote one Pesuk from Chumash, one Pesuk from Nevi'im, one Pesuk from Ksuvim. Here, so one Tanataka says all you have to say for Malchus Chayna Shofres are three Pesukim. That's the Mishnah Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Say one pasuk from Dov Zakos about Torah Rishonim Avim Sholosh Baktsuv. So we follow the opinion. Rabbi Nachman Nuri says only three. We follow the other opinion that L'chatchil is better to say nine psukim. You say three psukim from Torah, three psukim from the Vima, three psukim from Ksuvim. Just in case the one pasuk that we quoted, the one or two psukim are taken out of context, or if we misread it, So we quote three psukim. So how can you argue with that? So we prove the point. The first section in Malchus Hayin Shofers, we present what we feel are the three Ikari Hamuna that are koilel all of the other Ikari Hamuna. And then we quote nine psukim, three from Torah, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im, to demonstrate that this Ikari Hamuna is true. What is the need for the tenth pasuk? So the Gemara seems to say, that's the Pashtus on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, the tenth pasuk is for the purpose of enhancing the final paragraph. The final paragraph in each one of the brachas has to be a bakosha sarachim, like we said before, like Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said. How will you yotze tefillah derais on Shabbos and Yontif if you leave out all the brachas and toys, so there's no bakosha sarachim? So the answer is no, the concluding paragraph in the brach em tzoyis always has a bakosha. So Malchus Avlokein Hashem Malchus Kol Ha'olam Kulo Bichvei Decha. That's a tzorach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then Zichronis and Shofers also is Bakasha Sarach. So the best way to enhance, so we do two things. The Gemara says we do two things to enhance that Bakasha. So number one, we blow Shofar after Malchus, after Zichronis, after Shofers, because Tkiya Shofar elevates the Tefillah to the level of Tefillah Shiyeshima Demois, because the Tkiya Shofar is supposed to be the sound of crying. So we're emphasizing that this is a very serious tefillah. It's supposed to pay attention to the Nusach HaBrach, it's supposed to know what we're saying. If a person doesn't know, he should prepare in advance. Either say it in English or prepare in advance. He should know what he's saying. The Ramban in his commentary on the Rif and the Mohammed compares it to the Tainus Tzibur. On the Tainus Tzibur, when the Chazan would repeat the Shemona Esrei, he would add on an additional six brachas. So it would be a sum total of 24 brachas. 18 brachas to the regular Shemona Esrei plus 6 was 24. And they used to blow chatzaitzus at the conclusion of each one of the additional six brachas. So the Ramban says, just like the Tkiyas chatzaitzus at the conclusion of each one of the six additional brachas on the Tanis Sibra is to enhance the chashivas of the bracha, that there's an epidemic or a melchama, some terrible thing is happening in the world, why the Chachamim would go to Tainis, and it's a very serious davening, so that Tkiyas Chatzaitzus is to emphasize the seriousness of the moment. So too, that Tkiyas Shofar Rosh Hashanah is the same thing. It's supposed to elevate the level of the Tfilah to the level of Tfilah Shiyesh Imo Demois. So that's one way how we mechazik, how we emphasize the Bakosh. Then the other way is by quoting the 10th Pasuk. The Gemara says the 9 Pesukim and the 10th Pasuk are unrelated. The 9 psukim are to prove the point. Dovizakos batarav shan mavim shulish baksuvim, to prove the point that the Ikir and Emuna that we started off with is true. And the 10th pasuk is to enhance the bakasha, because we say Zachrinus, Zachrinus is the current table of Anecha, and fulfill the promise that you wrote in your Chumash, Zachartis Pisi Yaakov. You promised that you're going to have Zachrinus, you're going to remember the Jewish people of Teva. And we say Shofers, and fulfill a promise that it says in your Chumash that you told us, whatever pasuk we quote. So the same is true by the Malchus also. We say fulfill the promise, and fulfill a promise that you gave us in the Torah. The 10th pasuk from Malchus happens to be a tricky pasuk. The Gemara says the 10th, but you look in the Siddur, the 10th pasuk is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How is that? The purpose of the 10th pasuk of Malchus is fulfill the promise that you gave us in the pasuk of Malchus. How is that the promise? So if you look into the pshat on that pasuk, there are three interpretations. How do you translate the pasuk? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the Gemara in Chagiga Dav Gimla Mad Aleph seems to understand the word Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Echad in the sense unique. The Ribbono Shel Olam is unique. There's nothing else in the whole wide world like the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Mele, there's only one God. If there would be more than one God, he wouldn't be unique. But the pasuk doesn't mean that there's only one God monotheism. The Gemara says, Atem asisuni chativa achas bo'elam, v'ani yese eschem chativa achas bo'elam. The pasuk says, when was it? 2 weeks ago. In Kisovai, I think, I forgot already. It says, Hashem hamarta hayom, Hashem hemircha hayom. So the Targum Munkel is on that. It's a difficult word. Hamarta, hemircha. Rashi says, Ein lo dimyim ba'mikra. The word never appears, this verb never appears anywhere else in Tanakh. And Rashi says, what it means is, the Targum Munkel says, Hamarta, hemircha means, Atem asisuni chativa achas bo'elam. The Jewish people declare that the Ribbono Shel Olam is unique. There's nothing else in the whole wide world like him. As it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. Echad means unique. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the Jewish people are unique. There's no other nation like the Jewish people. So the Gemara translates the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, God is unique. The Rambam translates Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, monotheism. We believe in one God, not like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah who believe in the Trinity, not like the Greeks and the Romans who believed in 100 different gods and goddesses. We only believe in one God. Neither of these Perushim fit in over here. How are we using this Pasuk as the 10th Pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? How do we use that to enhance the bakashim, fulfill the promise that you gave us in the Chumash? Where is there a promise in Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad? So the Misadre HaTfila, who quoted that Pasuk as the 10th Pasuk, to enhance the bakasha, obviously understood like Rashi. How does Rashi translate that Pasuk? Shema Yisrael Hashem, Shehu Achshav Elokeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is now only the God of the Jewish people, Asi Lover, the day will come that he will be accepted by all the Umasalam, he will be Hashem Echad, he will be accepted by all the nations of the world. So God gave a promise in the Torah, the day will come that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be accepted. So that's what we say, the concluding paragraph in Malchus is a bakosha. There should be, the theme of Malchus should become fulfilled, and fulfill the pasuk that you wrote in the Chumash, Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, that Lasi Lavoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be accepted by all the Umas Olam. We don't understand what this means, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to daven. In the beginning of Bereishis, the pasuk says, "V'chalsiach hasad etarim yebaretz v'chal esav hasad etarim yitzmach." There were no trees and there were no bushes. There was no grass. Ki lohim ter Hashem elokim al ha'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring the rain yet. V'odemayim la'avodas ha'adamah. There was nobody there to do any work. So the simple translation of the pasuk is there was no vegetation, there was no rain, and there was no Adam Harishon before Adam Harishon was created. That's the Pashim Shah. So Rashi quotes a whole fantastic additional level of interpretation from the Medrash Rabbah on that pasuk. V'chol siach hasod eterm yeh ba'aretz, siach is miloshen tfilo. V'yetzi yitzach lasuach basodeh. There was yet no tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't cause the rain to come until he created Adam HaRishon, and he notified Adam HaRishon that vegetation, there's a concept of vegetation, nothing was growing yet. There's a concept of vegetation. Vegetation needs rain. I'm not going to give rain unless you pray for the rain. The Baruch Shalom said, I want Adam HaRishon to pray for the rain. So he said, so the rain came. That's how the Medrash Rabbah, Rashi and Chumash, quotes that Medrash Rabbah. An additional level of interpretation on the pasuk. V'chol siach hasodeh, the Medrash is interpreting, doesn't mean a bush. V'chol siach hasodeh means tefillah, sicha, to daven. V'odemayin la'avodah so'adomah means to do avodah shebelev, to pray on behalf of the Adama. So the Medrash understands that this was the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants people to be mispalah. Or there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that why is it that Sarah and Rivka and Rachel were akoras? How come they couldn't have any children? And the Medrash has it that even Avram Avinu and Yitzchak and Yanka, everybody was an ak of akoras. Nothing was normal there. Nothing was normal by the obvious. Why? The Gemara says because HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaba the tefilos shel tzaddik. Everybody has their own taivas. Some people have a taiva, some men have a taiva for women, some men have a taiva for money, some people have a taiva for food. People have different taivas. The Baruch Shalom has his taivas also. So what are his taivas? We have no hasog, what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavel et tefilosim shel tzadikim. Baruch Shalom wants, he has a desire, he wants people to be mispalat to him. What does that mean? We don't understand. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Rashi, we're talking about a din deras. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be mispalat to him about Malchus, Achrenus, and Shofaris. There's a famous Gemara, the beginning of Brachas, where the Gemara says that the Ribbono Shel Olam asks Yishmael Kohen Gadol, Yishmael Beni Barcheni, offer a tefillah. So Yishmael Kohen Gadol offers a tefillah, he wrote some Olfanecha. How does the Nigan go? Sheyich B'Sharachamecha Kascha Mi'aleinu. He's praying to the Ribbono Shel Olam that the Ribbono Shel Olam should have Rachmanus and the Jewish people. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants that tefillah. He says, Yishmael b'ni barcheni, offer a tefillah. The Baruch Shalom appreciates the tefillah. So on Rosh Hashanah is the day that HaKadosh Baruch created Adam HaRishon. And he told them all the Ikari Hamuna, and he told them that you need rain, and he told them, I want you to pray for the rain. I appreciate tefillahs. He wants us to be mispal to him. So that's what he wants us to do every year on Rosh Hashanah. He wants us to chazer the Ikari Hamuna. We're not going to give a whole list of 100 Ikari Hamuna, so we say Bikitza, like Rabbi Yosef Alba writes in the Sefer Hikarim. There are three Ikari Hamuna: Metzias Hashem, that's the Malchias, and Torah Ben HaShamayim, that's the Shofers. And the Zechrinus is the Schar V'Yoynesh. And we demonstrate that these Ikari Hemunah are true based on the Dovah Zekasa Batar V'Shan Ma'avim Shulvash Baksuvim. We quote three psukim from Chumash. The one time it says 1, 1, and 1. We paskin 3, 3, and 3. You really prove it. And then the 10th pasuk, the Gemara says, that's not the same as the first 9. In fact, by Zechrinus and Shofers, the 10th pasuk is not recited after the end of the 9. The 10th pasuk is recited in the concluding paragraph when he says, "Zochenim zecharin davar lefanecha, v'karim lo namashe kasav talen misaaseh v'zachate espisi Yaakov." The same thing Shofers also we say, and fulfill the promise that he gave us. In Malchias we say the 10th pasuk right after the 9 psukim. But also the Gemara seems to say the 10th pasuk of Malchias also is not the same as the first 9. The first 9 are to prove the ikirat emuna, and the 10th pasuk is really to enhance the bakasha at the end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fulfill the promise that he wrote in the Chumash, Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, that Lo Asi Lova, he will be accepted by all the Ummah Sodom. Why don't we say Takem Malchias? Why don't we say the 10th Pasuk in the middle of the concluding paragraph, similar to Zechrinus and Shofers? So the Mefarshim HaNesid, a quote from the Levush, that's the official explanation that they give, that this bracha of Malchias is really a double bracha. On a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, the fourth bracha in the Shemona Esrei is the bracha on the Kedushas Hayom. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, in Tilim, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. The Gemara said, "Dechei Bayom Baruch Nosa Balayla, Ein Baruch Mosa." You only bless the Rebbeinu Shlomo in the daytime. Why is only Bayom and not Balayla? The Gemara says, "No, Yom Yom doesn't mean day as opposed to night. It means Bechol Yom VaYom Tein La Me'Ein Berchoysav Shal Yom." If there's something unique about the day, if it's a Shabbos or a Yom Tov or a Chol HaMoed or a Rosh Chodesh, so mention something about it in the davening and in the benching. So the Gemara understands that that's the pshat. So that's what we mention in the Shabbos Dikin Shmon Esrei. The bracha revius on Shabbos and Yom Tov is always the bracha of Kedusha Soyam. We speak about Kedusha Soyam. The ikar of the davening has to be the bakash and sarachim. So you have to end off with the paragraph. Okay, well, say no. And so on. You have to end off with a bakasha, with tachnunim. And ruchni is dikin needs. But we're obligated to mention something about the Kedusha Sayyim. What? Don't know. Good question. One would have thought it should be the reverse order. First you have Torah Min HaShemayim, then you talk about Tzchav Yesh. I don't know. It's a very good question. So the Mefarshim, getting back again, the Mefarshim on the Machz, on the Siddur, they quote from the Levush, that's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, who explains Manishtana. How come by Zechrinus and Shofers, the concluding pasuk is in the final paragraph to enhance the significance of the bakasha, fulfill the promise that you gave us? How come by Malchias it's not in the middle of the concluding paragraph? So they say that the fourth bracha on Rosh Hashanah really is a combination of two different brachas. It's both a bracha of Kedushas Hayom, like every Shabbos and Yom Tov, and a bracha of Malchias. When you're not davening Musaf, so the middle bracha of the fourth bracha of Shemona Esrei is only Kedushas Hayom. When you're davening Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, so it's a combination of two brachas. Why don't we have two separate brachas? We should really have, in the Shemona Esrei, we always have the first three brachas, Gimel Rishonis, the last three brachas, Gimel Achrayinis, and then you have the middle bracha on Shabbos Yom Tov with Kedushas Hayom. Then the Chachamim wanted to institute Min HaTorah, Min HaRabbanan, or whatever, Malchus Chayinu Shofers, so it should be 3 and 3 and 3 and 1. It's 10. It should be 10 brachas. How come they combined together two brachas that made it into 9? So Rav Soloveitchik always used to point out, the Gemara says in Megillah, the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah was a body of 120 Rabbanim, who Bohem Kama Nevi'im, and amongst them were several Nevi'im, and they were the ones who composed the Nusach HaTfilah. So Rav Chaim Balozhin writes, and he quoted Rav Chaim Balozhin writes in Nebshachayim, what is the Gemara mentioned Bohem Kama Nevi'im? Because to be able to compose a Nusach HaTfilah, you have to really have Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. He used to say that he goes to graduations and they have clergymen, rabbis offer invocations and prayers. He says he never thought that they made any sense. That the modern rabbis composed their own tefillah. He was opposed to composing kinnis for the Shoah also. He says we don't have anybody in our generation who knows how to compose anything. We should just stick to the old nischos. He felt you have to do something for the Shoah. But he didn't think that we had a Bar Hochi. He didn't think we had a Talmud Chochem who was great enough to compose a kina that makes sense. That was his position. That was what he thought. So the Gemara in Bracha says, when Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were composing the Shmona Esrei, so they had to have a precedent, a source in Tanakh, that there is such a thing as a tefillah with 18 parts. So they found the Makor in Tilim. Then they wanted to add Vilam Hashinim to make it into 19. They had to find a Makor in Tanakh that there's such a thing as a tefillah with 19 parts. Then when it's a Tainus Tzibur, the Chazan adds on another 6 brachas, they had to find a Makor in Tanakh that there's a tefillah with 24 parts. So they found a Makor for that. Then on Shabbos and Yontif, the tefillah had 7 brachas. So they had the first three, the last three, and the Brach Emtzoy said the Kedusha Yom. So they found a Makor in Tanakh for a tefillah that has 7 parts. They were searching for a Makor for a tefillah with 10 parts and they didn't find. There is no Makor in Tanakh. So they couldn't have 10 brachas. They wanted to have 10 brachas. The Gimel Rishon is Gimel Acharon is Malchus Achayin Shofes and Kedushas Hayayim. There is no source in Tanakh for a tefillah that has 10 parts and you can't just compose a tefillah on your own. So they, by Tefillah Schanan has 9 parts. Shem Hashem appears 9 times. So that's what we say in the Piyutim and Rosh Hashanah. The fact that the Musaf Dikah Shmona Esrei and Rosh Hashanah consists of 9 brachas is patterned after Tefillah Schanah, then she mentions Shem Hashem 9 times, which indicates that you can have a tefillah with 9 parts. But we really want to have 10 themes. So the premise was you're going to have to combine 2 themes. So all the Tanaim work on that premise. Yeah. So the Gemara has a 3-way machlokes ha-Tanaim, which 2 brachas do you combine together? So one Tana was of the opinion the Mishnah quotes in the Gemara, Lamed Beis Amaral quotes all the 3. So one Tana was of the Rabbi Yechman Nuri was of the opinion that you recite Malchias in Atta Kodesh or Shimcha Kodesh because you're going to end off HaMelech HaKodesh. You change the Nusach and Aseres made sure we're going to say HaMelech HaKodesh. So you're already introducing the theme of Malchias in Kedushas Hashem. So you may as well have the whole Malchias over there. That's Rabbi Yechman Nuri's opinion. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said from his uncle. One of his uncles wrote a commentary on the Rambam, Avodas HaMelech, Rav Menachem Karkovsky. So he suggested that the tefillahs that we add on in Atta Kodesh or Shimcha Kodesh, we say V'chein Tein Pachtecha, that probably was the Hagdama, V'chein Tein Pachtecha, that the day should come that all of people in the world will have Yerush HaMayim. That sounds like an introduction to Malchias. So he said that's probably a carryover from the days, the Yerushalmi says that there were communities in Eretz Yisrael where they followed Rabbi Yechman Nuri, that they said Malchias in the Brach about the Kodesh or Shimcha Kodesh. So the fact that we have that piyut, that's not me'akev. Let's say that was my first shaila in the Rabbanus. I was in the practicing rabbinate for a few years. So the first shaila that came up was on Rosh Hashanah in Mincha. The Baal Tefillah was saying Chazaras Hashatz. So he, after Kedusha, he forgot to say V'chein Tein Pachtecha, and he just finished HaMelech HaKodesh. Everybody turned to me, what do you have to do? So V'chein Tein Pachtecha is only a piyut. It's not Ma'akev B'Di'evit. Because V'chein Tein Pachtecha seems to have been a carryover from the days that they used to say Malchias and Atta Kodesh. So the whole thing was Manazet. It's just an extra piyut. The Gemara has another Tana that says, no, you combine in the, when do you always say every regular Shabbos Yontif? When do you say the Brocha on Kedushas Hayayim? Be'emtza, in the middle. Yagimel Hashem is Gimel Acharenis. In the middle Brocha is Kedushas Hayayim. So the middle 3 Brochas are Malchi, Zecharenis, Shofers. So in the middle of Zecharenis, we should introduce Kedushas Hayayim. Because Mama Tzinim B'chal Mokim, Kedushas Hayayim Be'emtza, in the middle Mamish. So we should combine Zecharenis with Kedushas Hayayim. we have not accepted not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, not Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. We follow Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva says, you combine Malchias with Kedushas Hashem, not you combine Malchias with Kedushas Hashem. The fourth bracha, the first of the three brachas Amtsoyas, is both Kedushas Hashem and Malchias. We have the both themes together. So that's what the Levush says, that basically the fourth bracha is always supposed to be Kedushas Hashem, every Shabbos and Yontif. The fourth bracha, Nishman Esrei, is the bracha Amtsoyas, that's supposed to be the bracha Kedushas Hashem. So Malchias is a guest in the bracha. So it's not right that the guest should take over in Ganzen. We say so much Malchias there. So noch, we're going to put a pasuk in the concluding paragraph. On a normal Shabbos and Yontif, you have the concluding paragraph, you don't quote a pasuk. You say, Kasheni mitzvasech, v'sanchakein v'sachasach. You don't say, as you promised in the Chumash. Here in Zechonis and Shoifres, that's, we add on a pasuk in the concluding paragraph to enhance the bakasha, fulfill the promise that you gave us in the Chumash. So we would like to do the same in Malchus also, fulfill the promise that it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that lasi lovo, all the nations of the world will accept the Ribbono Shel'Olam as the one and only master of the whole universe. But that's too much. That's how the Levush says, too much. Malchus is taking over. The whole bracha is only a guest and is taking over everything. So we don't do like that. So we say the concluding pasuk, the tenth pasuk, we say after the first nine psukim, but it really has a shaychus with the concluding paragraph. That's what the Rav would sometimes call upon a Baal Tefillah. He would give him a machza and he would say, you have a machza here? He would say, say the niggun. So they would always say the same thing. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ay, 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 ay. Elokeinu, okay, Hashem Elokeinu, kol ho'ilam kudai, bichvei decha. So he would say wrong. He stopped at the wrong place. So he said, you have to stop after the ninth psukim. The ninth pasuk is, Vayashem lach kol, ayomu hi Hashem achad, ushma yechad, ay, 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 ay. Then you say, v'siras, kol shalom, ishma yisrael, shalom, kol Hashem achad, alkein, alkein, v'sein, v'lach kol hom kulay. You shouldn't sing a niggin, that's what he would demonstrate. Shouldn't sing a niggin, ay, 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 in between the tenth pasuk and alkein, alkein, v'sein. The tenth pasuk really belongs in the middle of alkein, alkein, v'sein. But we don't want to take over the whole bracha. So we say it at the end of the ninth psukim.
You just said before that the Chaim Pak was sort of a prelude, as it were, to Malchios, it's like getting in the mood. If that's the case, why the Bechal Maminim doing there? That should be like, more like before Kedusha, followed like Melech Elyon. It's like it just doesn't fit.
I don't know. Interesting question. I don't know. You have to look through the piyutim to see. I don't know. The Mishnah has that in the Beis Hamikdash, they had a practice on a Tainus Sibur when the Chazan repeats the Shemana Esrei at the conclusion of the additional six brachas Yibloch HaTzaitzus. On Rosh Hashanah, when the Chazan repeats the Shemana Esrei at the conclusion of Malchus Shemana Shofar, Yibloch Shofar. So the Mishnah says in the Beis Hamikdash and the Har Habayis, the Gemara says, both on the Tainus Sibur and on Rosh Hashanah they would blow shofar and chatzaitzur simultaneously. On Rosh Hashanah, Ikem Mitzvah Sayam is b'shofar, so they would have the shofar would be be'emtz on the two chatzaitzurs min atzdodim. What is that all about? And in Tainus Sibur, the Ikem is the chatzaitzur, so they have the Baal Tekeh blowing the chatzaitzur would stand in the middle and two shofars min atzdodim. Why do you have the Iker man in the middle? So that's based on the Gemara in Yuma. The Shlosh Yishoyim Alchem Baderech. So the one is the biggest Hamachachem, or the one is the most Choshevet person, should go Be'emtza, and the two who are less important should go to his right and to his left, to be Mechabed him. So Rosh Hashanah, when the Iker Mitzvah is Tkiya Shofar, so the Baal Tekeh of the Shofar should stand in the middle, and the two Chatzaitzes Min Atzdarim. And the Tani Sibur Fakert, the Iker Mitzvah is Tkiya Chatzaitzes, so the Tekeh, there's one chatzaitzur stands in the middle and the two blowing the shofar stand on the side. And then on a Tainus Sibur, those who are blowing the shofar stop in the middle, and the one who's blowing the chatzaitzur and standing in the middle prolongs the tkiyas, lahodia, to demonstrate ika mitzvah sayyam is b'chatzaitzur. And on Rosh Hashanah's fakir, the two who are standing menatzah blowing the chatzaitzur only blow a little bit, and after they stop, then the Baal Tekeh who's blowing the shofar continues to blow longer. So the Gemara says, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, some of the Tanoim thought that they should introduce this where they lived. That there was no Beis HaMikdash anymore, they should introduce this practice in other locations. So the Gemara says it's not correct. It's only in the Beis HaMikdash. It's based on a pasuk Kentilim v'chatzotzrots. We call shofar hariyu lefnei hamelach Hashem. Whether on a tiny sibu that there's a mitzvah of tkiyas chatzotzos or on Rosh Hashanah when there's a mitzvah of tkiyas shofar, you should have both shofar and chatzotzos. You shouldn't have one without the other. And this is only hariyu lefnei hamelach Hashem, only in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, on a tiny sibu, you only blow chatzotzos, and on Rosh Hashanah you only blow shofar. So this Vasemis on Erechin is bothered with the Kasha. The Mishnah in Erechin mentions that the Levim used to play musical instruments when they sang the Shir Shalyom every day. They used to sing the Shir Shalyom and the Kohanim would be Menasech the Yayin. After the Tom Shal Shachan, after the Musafim, and after the Tom Shal Bein Abayim, two or three times during the day, where the Kohanim would pour the Nisach HaYayin down the pipes in the Mizbeach. So the Levim would play the Shira, play the musical instruments, and they would sing at the same time. So the Mishnah says that they had certain days when they had Chatzaitzras. The Mishnah gives you the whole list of all the musical instruments that they used, and which special days in the year they blew Chatzaitzras. It never mentions that they blew Shofar with the Chatzaitzra. So the Sfasemis is bothered with the Kasha. The Pasuk says, in the Beis HaMikdash, Lefnei HaMelech Hashem, whenever you have chatzotzer, you have to have shofar. So how can they have chatzotzer without shofar? He doesn't have a teretz. So in yeshivas they say the teretz probably is the following: all year long, when the levim are playing shira, that's a musical presentation. So you have to ask a musician, you have to ask an orchestra leader whether it makes sense to blow shofar with chatzotzer. It doesn't make any sense. Shofar is going to ruin the whole sound. So you only blow chatzotzer, you don't blow shofar. This din b'chatzotzer was called shofar on a tiny sibur, and on Rosh Hashanah when you blow one, you blow the other. This is only because they're both, the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and the chatzotzer on tiny sibur, they're both part of the tefillah. They're both to enhance the tefillah. As the Rav said, you don't shake a lulav in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. You're not allowed to do another mitzvah in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. That's a hefsek. So why do you blow shofar? Why do you blow chatzotzer? Because the purpose of the shofar and the chatzotzer is to enhance the tefillah. To elevate the tefillah to the level of tefillah sheyesh imo demois. So the Beis HaMikdash is based tefillah. That's the real place to daven, not Uman. You should go from Uman to Yerushalayim to daven by the Kosel HaMaravi. Everybody should daven in the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Beis HaMikdash, when the davening stands a better chance of being accepted, there you have the chatzotzos called shofar. Every day of the year, when they're playing the musical instruments, that's for a musical accompaniment with the shir that they're singing. So you have to ask a musician what fits in. So they say chatzotzer fits in, the shofar does not fit in. The halacha doesn't apply there. This halacha is only when the chatzotzer and the shofar are being blown to enhance the tefillah. Every year, whatever Masechta Rav Soloveitchik would be learning before Rosh Hashanah, he would always take our time to discuss the tefillah. These ideas, that is, it's all from Rav Soloveitchik. He used to say these every year. I noticed in the beginning of Parshas Hazinu. So we say, Yarav Kamoto Likhi Tizal Katalim Rossi. Kisirim Aledesha Vichirivim Aleyesiv Kishem Hashemekro Havagodal Elokeinu. So we mentioned before the pasuk in the beginning of Bereishis, "V'chalsiach hasada tam b'yah b'aretz v'chalaisa hasada tam yitzmach." Rashi quotes in the Medrash that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants man to daven v'sein talamata. He wants us to pray for the rain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesabel tefilosam shel tzaddikim. That's why he didn't bring any rain before he created Adamai la'avodas ha'adama. Adam HaRishon wasn't created yet. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to pray for the rain. And he also wants us to pray for Talmud Torah. The Gemara learns that Kishem Hashem Ekro HaVagodol HaLakeinu is the source for Birchas HaTorah. So what exactly is included in Birchas HaTorah? So Birchas HaTorah is like a Birchas HaMitzvah. You praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave us the mitzvah of Lulav, the mitzvah of Tfilin, the mitzvah of Tzitzis. Praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of Liman HaTorah. And it's Birchas HaShevach. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was so kind, Shabbat Habanu, we are the Amanev, and he gave us the Torah. But it's also a Bakosha, it's a Tchina. We say, Harav Na Hashem Al Kenes Divis HaRoscha V'finu V'yamcha B'Yisrael. V'ni Anachna V'tzatzoenu, V'tzatzoyamcha Kolodi Yodu Shmecho. It's a Bakosha and a Tchina. The Chumash compares the two together. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to pray for the rain, he wants us to pray, a Birchas HaTorah, to pray that the Liman HaTorah should be successful, it should have a positive effect on us. Harivno, the learning should be pleasant, should be Arev, and we should be Yodi Shmecho, by Liman HaTorah, the Torah Kol HaTorah Kula, Shmoysav Shalva Kadosh Baruch Hu, we should be Matzliach in learning. The Torah should have an effect on all of us. That's why the Psukim are Smuchim Zela Zeh. That's what we're davening. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give us Hatzloch and learning, that the Torah should have an effect on us. The Velt Frekt HaKasha, the Mefarsh Mar Chumash has it. Hazino is all the way at the end of the Chumash. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu wake up? He's holding by dying already. So, how does he say last week in Vayelech? He says, holding by dying, now he wakes up that it's time to say Birchas HaTorah. Why didn't he say Birchas HaTorah 40 years earlier? Maimon HaSinai should have said Birchas HaTorah for the last 40 years. What does he wake up the last day of his life? So they have in the different Svarim, they have a suggestion. Moshe Rabbeinu said, and last week said, what, he couldn't walk. So Rashi quotes in the matter, what do you mean? The cause of Aida, well, I'm not slechem. When the Rabbanu Shalom said, Alei al Har Avarim Hazeh, he was skipping steps. The Rabbanu Shalom said, go on top of Har Avarim, you're going to die. So he was jumping up, skipping 8 steps at a time. I can't jump 8 steps at a time. Jumping up to the top. So what do you mean? Lucha lot lots of Zulava. So Rashi quotes in the matter, no, lots of Zulava and learning. All the years, the last 40 years of his life after Maimon HaSinai, Moshe Rabbeinu had Mayonis HaChachma. He had like a Mayan HaNaveya. He had Shechina Medaberes Mitochrona. It was unbelievable. He wasn't working. He didn't have Yigiyah V'amol HaShoter. It was the Shechina was Medaberes Mitochrona. The day that he died, Zakta Lucha Lod Latzis Lava, Nistat Mehmena Mayonis HaChachma. A Mayan is a Mayan HaNaveya, a spring, a flow of water. He didn't have that. The last day, he had a Kvetchois. On his own, he had to have you give a Malash al Torah. So when you're talking learning, then you have to say Birchas HaTorah. If I just stand there, the Shekhinah comes out from my mouth and the voice is heard, a booming sound, I'm not learning. I'm not saying the learning. So I don't have to say Birchas HaTorah. That's what the Velt says. When you have you give a Malash al Torah, if you have to work in order to learn, then you got to say all the Birchas HaTorah. The Iker is that Brocha. Harivna. Sein Chalkeinu B'Sarasecha. Harivna. V'ni Anachnu. Just like you have to pray for the rain, that the rain should do its job, so we have to pray that the Torah should have an effect on us. We should all have a ksiva v'chsima toivo. We should daven well on Rosh Hashanah. Thank you.